I appreciate this morning the plan of salvation. It's meant a lot to me. I fought it for years, but it's been the dearest thing in my life.
Yeah.
I can say that I am very, very thankful for what it has done for me in my life. I feel like that it has been the security of my life. It's made me happy.
Amen.
It's made me and my wife happy. It's given my children happiness. I look at the world around me, and when I see the children of the world being abused, left of their own doings, and when I see the unhappiness and the grief that's caused by this world and sin, it makes me extra appreciative of the plan of salvation that the Lord gave me.
Yes.
Some nights at home, cold winter nights, I'm sitting in my easy chair, my fireplace is crackling, and the children are running around playing. Oh, they're coloring or they're doing something, and I'll get the great sense of satisfaction and peace that God has put into our lives. And my children don't always do that. They squabble sometimes too. But I'm still thankful because I know I can see in my children the results of being loved.
Yes.
The security. They act secure. They we're all like that when we serve the Lord. There's something that the Lord's done for us. I look and see a drunk staggering on the sidewalk. A lot of times my reaction, I'll say this to my family when I see it, I'll say, thank God for salvation.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm saved. Or I'll see somebody in a place with his hands behind his back and the handcuffs on him, and I'll say to my family sometimes, thank God for salvation today. I'm glad I'm saved.
Yes.
Sometimes you'll go by the road and we'll see all these guys out there, and a lot of them up home anyway, they're in orange. All orange jumpsuits.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll see that sometimes, and I'll look at my wife and say, I thank God for salvation. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved.
Yeah.
Appreciate the old story. When God created man, He made him in His own image, His own likeness. I don't know what that means as far as the physical man does, because the Scripture says God is a spirit. Then it uses terms that we can understand by saying His arm is not shortened. It sounds like He's got an arm. I don't know about all that because I'm not very smart. But I know that God made us in His own image, and God is holy, and He made us men to be holy too.
Yeah.
And when Adam and Eve transgressed, they plunged the whole race into sin. We've had to deal with it. I'm a long ways removed from Adam and Eve, but I've had to deal with sin and the consequences of it in life. And the plan is from the beginning that there was a lamb slain, and Jesus took on that role, and He came in the fashion of a man and lived this life as a man. Though He was God, He lived it as a man. He was born as a baby, just like we were.
Yes.
And He was born in a humble situation that was chosen for Him, and He came up in the situation as men do. And He was a lamb slain. He gave Himself. My favorite illustration of that is that of a story that I heard of a butcher. I heard on the radio one day. There was a man that was a butcher, and he slaughtered animals. They would bring beef to him, and he said it never bothered him. He'd bring steers, they'd bring hogs, they'd bring the different things in, and for years he went through the process and would kill these animals and prepare them. And he said one day they brought in a little lamb. And he took the lamb and he took his razor sharp knife and he got the lamb and he slit its throat. And when he did, he said he had blood on his hands and all, and he said all the other animals fought and kicked. The beef would stomp and the hog would do its thing and squeal and all. But this little lamb, he put the knife to it and the blood was on his hands, and he said it looked up at him and began to lick the blood, his blood, his own blood, began to lick it off of the butcher's hands. And the butcher said, I never done it again. I gave it up. Well, that touched me because the Lord was that lamb.
That's right.
He didn't kick. He didn't resist. And the very one that done it. You know, they was men that drove nails into the Lord's hands.
Yes. Right.
And He saved them too if they came to Him. They was ones that spit upon Him. There had to be somebody whipping. There had to be somebody slinging that whip.
That's right.
There was somebody that lifted Him up. There was somebody that took that old crown of thorns and stuck it down on His head till it wouldn't fall off. It stuck on there. There was somebody done it. And do you know when they done it, He blessed them.
Yes, He did.
That was victory, folks, that the Lord was giving to us. My message today is that we wouldn't, as Christians, if you're here today and that's not your title, I pray it would be your title.
Yeah.
But if that you're here today and it is your title, I pray that the Lord would help us to realize that God did not make a puny, weak salvation.
Amen.
He made one with great power.
Amen.
To do in the hearts of men what it was made to do.
Yes.
To purify it, clean it, and give victory over all sin, self, all the things that the world has. He gave Himself to do it. And to realize that He done it in that way. And He wants us to follow in that pattern. I'm thinking today about the power of salvation. I believe that the Lord made a plan that has a great power in it.
Yes.
It can deliver you from your habits. It can deliver you from the things that hinder you in this life. So I want to think about that. Don't be fooled by the world. Don't be fooled by the religious systems, because in my life I've seen a lot of it that declare to people that salvation in the fullest extent is some kind of intellectual accepting of the fact that Jesus was here. And that makes you saved. And there's nothing else to do with that, and people go on and live in that kind of a life with all the filthiness of the flesh and all the giving into the flesh and all those kind of things. Folks, that's not the plan. That's not the plan of God. The plan of God is a delivering plan.
Amen.
It is a changing plan. All things, old things are passed away. The old things are gone. The old ways, the old thinking, the old ideas, the old passions, the old desires, the old temptations, all those things. And I know we're tempted, but the power of it can be broken.
Amen.
Old things, the old man, the old Marty. I had my way. I had the things that I done. I had the ways that I thought was important. I had the ways that I done things. And when Jesus came in, all that started changing. I was amazed. The Scripture said it, but it was true. Old things passed away. And behold, all things become new. I started seeing things differently. And God started working with me and things started changing. And He had a plan to alter and change my life, your life, everybody's life.
Yeah.
That will give themselves to it. I like power. I have a little Chevrolet truck at home, and something's wrong with the truck. And I took it to the mechanic, and he put it on his testers and all. He's a real good mechanic, but he put it on there and he said it doesn't show up nothing. He said, that's really odd. There's nothing showing up on this. So he told me, now if nothing shows up, there's a few things that's probably happening. Well, I haven't found out what those things are, but it's real frustrating to me to be in this truck. And goes along pretty good sometimes, but I'll get in a certain place to where I need some power. And I'll push down on the gas to get some power. And when I want to push down on that gas, I want something to happen.
Yeah.
I push down on it, instead of something happening, it's got this sensation of bleh. it won't take the gas. Something's going on wrong in that. It don't have it. But it wasn't made that way. I know that they didn't sell them trucks to do that. That wasn't the idea of it. That's not the way the fuel injection system is made. That's not the way the fuel system's made. That's not the way it's made. It's made that when you push down onto that, that it starts that there should be some motor revolutions there. There should be some power being gained there. And when there's not power, you don't accomplish anything. Nothing happens. I want something that works today. I don't want a salvation that don't work. I want a salvation that works. And God made one that works. And folks, if there's a letdown in it and it's not working, it's not the plan that's went wrong. No. There's something involved in there in us, and it can happen. Don't allow the world and the philosophies of the world to get you to believe that it's okay not to have any power in your system. Because it wasn't made that way. We wasn't made to just say, well, I'll say a little old prayer, and if it's answered, it's answered, and if it's not, it's not. Or to say, well, we'll pray for you, and if you don't get help, we'll find something else. That's not the plan of God. The plan of God is to have a salvation that works.
Amen.
I believe in the experience of being able to lay hands on, according to the book of James, and pray the prayer of faith, and people, one the Scripture says that it is this way, they've committed any sins, I think it is, they'll be forgiven. That's part of salvation. That they're experience of forgiven. That those that are sick can find healing. Now, God has many purposes that we need to work through. Many things in there. Heard it said many times, the greatest preachers, they all die too. There's going to be death involved in it. I'm not preaching to you that we're not going to have troubles. We're not going to go through sicknesses. But I am preaching you a salvation that'll get you victory in it. And if the Lord so chooses that healing is not the answer for your problem, there is a grace that'll give you the power to be able to live with it, victoriously live with it. I thank God today for salvation and a salvation that works. I'd like to look at a Scripture in Romans. I believe it's the 8th chapter. Eighth chapter of Romans. Oh, I'll go back and pick it up. It says in the 31st verse, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Yes.
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" I think of this Scripture in a couple of different ways. I've heard it said of Christ's love to us, but I really don't think Christ's love to us is even challenged by the things that happens on this earth. But what about our love to Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Or what shall separate us? Shall tribulations? They don't have to.
No.
They don't have to. You can have victory in that too.
Amen.
You can have victory in that. The brother has put a prayer request in for a brother over in Iran. That because he will not give up his confession, his profession of Jesus, he's subject to dying. He don't have to do it. They can't make him give it up. I'm going to tell you something too. They'll only kill him once. And they'll be doing him a favor when they do it.
That's right.
That's the victory that Jesus brought to us. They can't do it. It can't be taken from you, folks. When you give your heart to it, it can't be taken from you.
That's right.
There's no way to do it. I think of the Lord and what they've done to Him. And He went, well, you may say, that's God. He died for sinners. He died for the ones that was doing it to Him. He died for the one that hated Him. But He did it. And he gave us the same charge. And you may say, well, that was the Lord. Sure, he can do it. But we're just human. It wasn't just but a little while after that that there was a man named Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost. Began to preach to the people and tell them where they had erred. And he did it. He didn't do it soft either. He told them. He told them just where it was at. And the Scripture said he was full of the Holy Ghost when he done it. And then when they gnashed on him with his teeth and they got angry and they started stoning him, you better watch how hard you throw stones. Because you might do your enemy a big favor when you do. You throw it too hard and you're going to set him free forever. You're going to send him to the Lord. Now the Lord allowed that to happen, and there Stephen was in the most powerful witness of his life. He had been witnessing, he had been preaching, but now he's about to give his life for the witness, and he's there witnessing that you can love people even if they throw stones at you. Do you realize today that there's victory in Jesus to overcome all of those things, and you can love even though you're hated? You can love though you're despised? Yes, you can. Because he did. And he gives that to us. And Stephen, being stoned to death, said, Father, lay it not to their charge, didn't it? Don't lay that to... Don't let this be. I remember, I've told this many times, but I remember one time a guy bought a car off of me. And it wasn't that great of a car. And I finally figured, well, I'll sell it for $400. So a guy came along and he looked at the car and he said, I'd like to have that car. I'll give you $400 for it. But he said, I've not got $400. But he said, I do have, I think it was $225 or something. He said, I got $225. And he said, how about if I give you $225 and then I get paid Friday and I'll pay you payday. Oh boy, I said, well, all right. And so he paid me the $225 and he took off with the car. Well, Friday came and Friday went. There wasn't no money. And I needed the money. I wanted the money. And that was the price. Well, it came and went. And the next Friday came and went. And a number of Fridays came and went. And they never showed up. Well, I went to work one early morning and got in the line at the Go Mart. And right ahead of me. This fella, right ahead of me. And so he went up, and when he paid, and when he turned around, we was face to face. My eyes didn't drop. I hadn't done him wrong. I looked him in the eye, but his head went down. And he said, I'm going to pay you payday. And I wanted the money, so I said, yeah, you okay. Okay, payday. So he left, but he never did come back. Well, while after that, I walked in, and you know, right there ahead of me in the line at the Go Mart, one same situation. There he was. He went up when he paid, and he turned around. There I was. His head dropped again. He said, "I'm going to pay you payday." All right, I was wanting that money, but I'm going to tell you what started happening to me. I started getting feelings about it. That started bothering me. He's not paying me my money. And the Lord started dealing with me. What happens if he never does? All right, Lord. You know, I started praying about it. And that scenario of Stephen, the Lord gave me that. And I said, all right, I know what it is, Lord. You know, it wasn't long after that, I was in the Go Mart and he's right ahead of me. And he turned around and I said, no. I said, it's forgiven. You just forget about it. Do you know I had complete victory when I done that? I had complete victory. There was no feelings left. I don't mind that he did that. I don't mind that it was that I sold the car to you. I don't mind any of that. You know why? Because it was in my heart that if he don't make heaven, Lord, don't hold this one against him. If I could forgive him, Lord, and this is the only thing that keeps him from going, I release it. Let him go, Lord. That's what Stephen was saying when he said, don't lay it to their charge. He meant that if nothing else happens, just for my sake, Lord, don't even count this to them. I'm not offended by it. I'm not offended by that. There's victory and power in the Lord Jesus to live above this old world, above the old feelings that humans get. There's power in there to live above that, to have victory in this life. The Scripture in Isaiah talks about a highway, the highway of holiness. You know, a highway is cast up. A highway goes above it. You know, of course, up home it's got to do this. A lot of mountains and it does some of this. But the idea of a highway is get it up above the hindrances. Get it up above the problems. Get it up there until when you get on the road, you can hammer down. You can go somewhere. You can get with it. Set that thing on cruise control. Hit that thing and go. And you know what happens? You start rolling the miles over. You start going somewhere. You're getting somewhere, doing something. The reason for putting it up there is to get it above the obstacles. Don't have to down here and all this stuff and around turns. And they said the Interstate 79 in West Virginia goes from, it enters in from the Kentucky side and goes out the top side. And they said that Interstate 79 costs more money to build, that one road through West Virginia, than all the interstate systems of the state of Iowa. Well, I believe it because the cut and fill was enormous. They had to cut mountains and then fill valleys and do that. But they done it for a reason. So you can go somewhere.
That's right.
So what shall separate us? What's powerful enough? What's got enough strength in it to separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing.
That's right.
So shall tribulations, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Folks, people have endured and lived for God and been faithful through all kind of things. There have been the poorest of people. Stay true to God. Stay true to God.
Yes.
There has been people that's down that didn't have hardly anything that kept themselves in God. Through famine, through nakedness, through distresses. When other people didn't like them and the world turns against them, there have been people that's been true to their family, the ones they love the most, turn on them. And would accept them wholeheartedly if they had just give up the Lord, and they wouldn't do it. What will separate us? God's got a powerful salvation this morning. It says, "For as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." Now it comes into this, folks. It's not only Jesus. It's that lamb that licks the blood off of the butcher's hand. Now it becomes the nature of his people to be like a lamb.
Yeah.
To be willing to go in and you can do anything to them. They don't have teeth and they don't have claws. I doubt if they can even kick very hard. They don't look like they could. They have no built-in sense of defense on them. Jesus did that. He handed it down. And here Stephen was doing it too. People misunderstand Christianity so much. And the power. And what we're fighting for. And what we're doing. Went to the coal mine one day. There was a guy that worked there that was a local preacher in the area. I went in and said, "Chuck, how you doing?" "Pretty good," he said. But he said, "I'm praying that the Lord would give me the strength of Samson. Because I'm about to go in the mines, and if them men start picking on me again today," he said, "I'm going to take this lead pipe to them." Well, it'd be handy to have the strength of Samson if he was going to do something like that. But the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal.
That's right.
But they're mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. Oh, believe in God today. The situations that He allows you in is for a good place to witness for the Lord. It's a good place for people to see just what you're made of. What you really got on hand. You remember the Scripture where the Lord said that the kingdom of heaven was like unto a leaven that a woman took and put that little bit of leaven into the meal until the whole thing was leavened?
Yeah.
You know what that's referring to? That's referring to the growing process of the kingdom. The way it works is that the Lord comes down and He gives us a little bit. We get a little bit. But it's alive and it's active. And where does it go? Yeah, it starts only in my repentance to the Lord. Lord, I want to be saved. I'm tired of sin. And the Lord comes and all of a sudden I find out that it goes into everything that I do. Now it goes into the way I treat my wife. It goes into the way I respond to the children. It even goes into the way I respond to the cat. It goes into the way I respond to the neighbor. It goes the way I respond on my job and in work when people's looking and when they're not. Because it leavens, it grows. The given there is that if you pour water into meal, the only thing you do, the only thing it's got the capability of doing, it wets what it touches. And when it quits going to the, it can't do anymore. That's religion for you. Religion only affects what it touches. But salvation goes to the extent. And now when somebody comes up and they get a pinch of you, it's the same thing that was put in. No matter where you pinch it at, on the job, at the store, at school, at the house, no matter where you pinch the real thing, you're going to get the real thing. And when you get the real thing, it starts the process over. That's why the leaven works like that. It's powerful today. It grows and it keeps growing. Oh, believe in it today. Believe in the Lord and the power that He has. He's got victory. I remember another story of a woman who had a small daughter, an only daughter. And a man, I may have told this the other night, but a man had abducted her, took her, and brutally abused her and killed her. And he was caught. And he was found guilty. And that mother had the right of a victim to face him. And she went to him. And she said to him, "I love you. And I forgive you." Oh, what would it take? What would it take? I think that pleases the great heart of God.
Yes.
We're all guilty. And Jesus said, "I forgive you." Another story was recently in the news was a woman, I think it was a Christian woman, in one of the Arab countries, they had some guys that got her and threw acid in her face and destroyed the looks of her face. And they was caught and prosecuted. And the law is an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. And they gave her this option. They gave her the acid. And now you get to do what they done. And you know what she did? She set it down. And she said, "I forgive you." God help us today. We'll get to bickering over things. Sometimes I'm amazed at what I can get caught in the middle of people bickering over things and how small it is. Well, somebody said something. Somebody did this. They didn't shake my hand. Well, if you didn't, and you, even if you didn't, do it on purpose. Even if you didn't do it and it was on purpose, you're forgiven anyway. It's not that big a deal. Lord, help us today. As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more." More. That's above and beyond. That's not petty. It's not powerless. It's more. We not only conquer and get there, but we're more than conquerors. We could have done more. We could do it again. We have victory in all these things, Paul was saying. None of these things can match the power of the risen Christ. He died. He gave Himself. He teaches us to do it. But not only that, it would still be meaningless if He didn't empower it. Because we don't have the ability to do it. We know what we should do. I believe most all people down in their heart knows what they should do. It's being able to get to the place that they do it. But He done more than that. He brought a way to do it. A power to do it with. We're more than conquerors. Not in ourselves. Not because I will to, but because He did. Through Christ. Remember the scripture, I think it's in Acts, to where that was testified that these men, we know they've been with Christ. You remember that? These people have been part of they know what the resurrection, they've been resurrected. They know it. And how do we know these people? We know they've been with Christ. They're ignorant. They're ignorant and unlearned. You know what it teaches me? It teaches me that you don't have to be smart. You don't have to know a lot. You don't have to be even educated. Two of the most profound men in my life were people that had hardly any education as far as this world goes.
That's right.
Brother Sammons went to but didn't finish the eighth grade. College degreed people would call this man for counsel because he had been with Jesus. Because he had learned the ways of God. He had become... He butchered... I'm bad at it. But he butchered the English language. But we knew what he meant and God blessed it.
Yeah.
It was anointed from God. But he really tore it up as far as the grammar part of it.
Yes, he did.
But he had a profound effect on my life. He would come up to the house. Well, he was my pastor. He'd come up to the house. There was times he'd come up to the house and we'd be in a place and the devil would be on us and we'd call for the pastor and he'd come in all over and over. I've seen him come in and say, "Well, let's pray before we pray." You know what I mean? And he'd get down and start praying and the Lord would start filling the room. And by the time he got ready to pray, he was already convinced that the answer was there. The inspiration was just there in his prayer and the power. It's a powerful salvation, folks. God hears and answers prayer. His eyes are over the righteous and his ears are open to the prayers. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. And the world says you can't be a righteous man. But the Scripture says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It means something's got power to it.
Yes.
And he'd pray and the Lord would bless us.
That's right.
Brother Jim White never got to the eighth grade, the best I remember, about the sixth grade. God was with him. Blessed him in his life. I'm going to tell you a little story he told me. Brother Jim married a wife about 1942 and went in the army, volunteered to be a paratrooper. Back then you had volunteered. He volunteered to be a paratrooper in the 101st Airborne and he went to war. He was in the first wave that flew over on D-Day on Normandy and jumped out of a plane over there. He was sent into Holland and jumped out up there in what was dubbed this a bridge too far. It was a very famous battle up there that lost about 22,000 British soldiers up there. And the 101st Airborne was sent in to secure some roads. They done their job, but the other messed up. And anyway, it was a lot of men. It was a big casualty. It was a crazy plan, but he was involved in it. Then he was in the middle of the Battle of the Bulge. He was a part of the Bastogne, and he was right in the middle of that and surrounded by the Germans, and he was a part of that heroic crew that held on against all odds that stopped that German advance there. And the Lord protected him. He ended up getting hit with some shrapnel. He still had artillery piece of metal in his hip till he died. And the Lord protected him even though he wasn't saved. He come back home. And he told me from the way the war had went, and he said that when he come home, he had a wife and a child. And he said he looked at them with no human emotion whatsoever. None. He said the war had hardened him. Well, imagine it, folks. The very next moment, your best friend might be blown completely apart. What are you going to do? Sit and cry? It makes men hard. Did they have to survive it? You can't go through something like that without stealing yourself. making yourself hard. He did. The only thing about human nature is that you don't turn those things on like light switches. When you harden yourself, you're hard. And he come home and was a hard man with a wife and child. And he said, he told me, he said, when I come home, and he said, I looked on them, he said, I had no human emotion whatsoever. And he tried to be a husband and a father with that. And it didn't work. But he come to the place that the Lord started breaking through that hardness and convincing him of that he needed to be saved. And Brother Jim got saved.
Yes, he did.
He was without a doubt one of the meekest, gentlest men I ever knew. Because God's powerful and it changed him and it altered him. I'm going to tell you what he told me. There come a time that his marriage was so bad that his wife, though they was in the same house, they had a little relationship, and his wife was running around. She was out. He told me this. I think it's all right to tell it. He got to that point, and he went to Brother Sammons, which was our pastor at the time, and he said, I've had all I can take. I think I'm getting out of it. Brother Jim said, or Brother Sammons said to him, Brother Jim, there's nobody that would blame you. You won't be faulted in a situation like that. He said, but I'm going to leave this with you. If you do it, your wife will never be saved. He told me, he said, I wrestled with it a little while. And then he said, I committed myself to saving my wife. He prayed for her. He put prayer requests in every day I ever remembered, except for one day. He would say every service, pray for our... He would use it in a plural sense. Pray for our wife, he would say. Pray for our wife. He done that, and one day he didn't do it. And I said, oh my, is Brother Jim we're in? The next service, pray for our wife. He did that for 30 years. And there come a time when she was put in the home and couldn't care, and Brother Jim would go over there. There come a time that she said to him, will you call Tony and Jeannie? I'd like to be saved. And she sweetly got saved shortly before she left this world. If we will lose our purpose, why we're even here, if we're not very careful. The weapons of our warfare, not carnal. You can't wrestle somebody into salvation, folks. Lead pipes can't beat it into them. We're not wrestling with those kind of things. We're not trying to be smarter and more intelligent, richer, own more things. We're not trying to be superior in any way to people. We're trying to get them salvation. We're trying to get them to realize the same love of Christ that we have in our own hearts. And we're to win them that way. The Scripture says that you can do exceedingly, He can do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think. And I have quite an imagination. But hold it. According to the power that works in you. There's power in this salvation to keep us in the place that the Lord would have. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He gives us the victory. He gained the victory. Not my victory. It's His victory. I like when David came up against the giant. He came up there. You remember the scene? David come up there. And out comes this giant. He'd been doing this for a while. He'd done this about 40 days. This giant comes out there and big and cries out, you ought to have a man. I thought Israel was supposed to be something. Come on, y'all have a man. Y'all send a man down here. I'm challenging you. Send a man down here. And here's little old David. They had some big men there. But he was a little old boy. comes out there. And he looks down there, and here comes out that giant. But David had it right in his heart. Had something right. You'll give me this liberty. This is the way I think this plays out. You know, in back then, it wasn't like come up nighttime and you pulled out a little storybook. The three bears or the three pigs or even Bible stories. You didn't pull out a book. These things was handed down.
Yeah.
Because it meant something to him. It was a heritage. I think it was impossible that David wouldn't have known about how the people crossed the Red Sea. I know he did because it's in Psalms. I think it was impossible that he wouldn't have known very detailed the story about how Joshua went and they marched around the walls of Jericho. David heard this story. He's told probably by Jesse over and over and over again.
Yes.
The sword of Gideon. You think he knew that story? The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. I imagine he knew him right down to the last letter. So he goes up there, and now the great army of Israel, the army of God, the one that never fails, he never falters, and he gives victory to his people. A little boy's mind. A faith. A faith. This is the way the story was told to me. The story wasn't told that the enemy overcomes God's people. I never heard that story. So he goes up there in the mind of a youth, of one of victory and of power, and God being mighty. Then he goes up there and he looks and a giant comes out. And I imagine when he come out there to start with, if you'll give me liberty, the way I am, he come out there and he said, "Give me a man." I thought, boy, he's going to get in trouble. That giant's about to get in trouble because the Lord's about to do something. Which one of these guys is what's going to... That's the way the story's told. But they were scared. And David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Why are we doing this?" And then they start saying, "Something wrong with you, David. Something wrong with you." And David says to one side, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Are we going to allow God's movement, God's people, to be powerless? To never be proven? To never let the world know that God is a delivering God? To let the glory of God be shown, that He heals and He helps and He blesses and He encourages and He gives victory to His people?"
Amen. Yes.
No, ain't nobody here going to do it. David did it. What's the king said he'd give all this, going to give some valuable stuff to the man that would... David said, "I'll go down there." He went and they went and told Saul what David was saying. He said, "Come here." And David went in there and said, "I'll go." You remember the story?
Oh yeah.
Something fascinating about the story. David went right on down to the giant. "Wait a minute, he's bigger than me. He's bigger than me." Folks, you ever run into things bigger than you?
Amen.
Yeah, run into it quite often. Another one of my favorite stories, my little girl, Sabrina, she don't like me for mentioning her name, but I just did. So anyway, she was a little girl, and she had a balloon and was playing with it, and it burst on her, her mom was trying to console her for her balloon, but she said, "It's all right." Said, "Daddy will fix it when he gets home." She told me that when I got home, and I was like, "Oh boy, how do you fix a balloon? Can't tape it. Wire won't hold it. Glue couldn't hold to a balloon." I thought, can you baling wire, baling twine, string, glue, tape? I don't know how to fix a balloon. I run into my limits all the time, folks.
That's right.
God never runs into His limitations.
Yeah.
And when life's burst and there can't hold air anymore, it's amazing how God can get him to do it. He can make him new again.
Amen.
Can make him new again. David run into his limitations. This little old boy ain't going to kill a giant. A man of war. He was a warrior from his youth. 9 feet, 9 inches tall. 140-pound armor. This was a man. Warrior. And he sent a little shepherd boy down there with a sling and a staff. And he went down there and he picked up 5 smooth stones. I like Brother Paul Phillips' explanation for the 5 stones. One was for Goliath. And later in the scriptures it said Goliath had 4 brothers. I don't know if that's what it really meant, but if they wanted to take up the fight, he had the ammunition to do it with. God was with him. picked up those, went down there, and faced that giant. And the giant came out there in the big heap of flesh that he was. And folks, is it not our battle? Oh, you look at other people and say, oh, they're my enemy, they're my... And we have enemies. But that's what I'm fighting. No, it's not. It's fighting the great big heap of flesh called Marty, called me, called self. And David went down there and it was full of self and rising up a big old giant. And David come down there and the words were simple. You come to me with a sword and spear. And I come to you in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
The battle's not mine, said little David. Mm-hmm. It ain't my battle. It's God's battle.
Amen.
He only looked forward and longed for those experiences that you and I could have. David longed for the experience of God in him. He longed for it. He wrote about it, sung psalms about it. But we have it.
Yes.
We have the potential, the power that he longed for. Because Jesus died. He gave it to us. And now, it's the same thing. We face our enemies saying, it's not my fight. It's the Lord's.
Yes.
I do it in the name of the Lord. I like even the expression, can't completely expound on it. I think it's in Jude, where there's a scripture that says that the archangel disputed over the bones of Moses. Remember that scripture? Durst not make a railing accusation against Satan, but said, the Lord rebuke you. I love that because there may have been some rights in the great eternal world for Satan to have said, Moses did this wrong and that gives me the right to it. But when the archangel said he wouldn't make the accusation against it, he simply used the power that was given of forgiveness. The power that was given by Christ, he said, the Lord rebuke you. And it was done. It was done. There was no more power left in Satan because the Lord Jesus paid the price. And now all Satan had to do, if he made any accusations, it was the blood that covered it, and he can do nothing about it. And thank God for it today, because I've done a lot of things wrong in my life. But the devil can't come and make any accusations against me either, because all that has to be said was, oh, I have no right to go and say that I have a right to anything. But this is one thing I can claim. When the devil comes, the Lord rebuke you. Because I'm living for Jesus. And the Lord rebuke you. When he comes up, we can say, it's by Jesus' blood. You deal with Jesus' blood, Satan. Because it's covered my life. That gives me the great privilege to be able to access God. He's pleased through Christ that mediates for us. This scripture has been used quite a bit in this meeting, but I want to get it again. It's Hebrews. It's Hebrews 4. I think it's the last verse. Let us therefore come boldly. You know, I go to the Lord. I go to the Lord when I go to the Lord. I get this sensation of humility. I mean, I just do. He's so mighty, and it just makes me get down. But there is contradiction between bold and humble. You can boldly be humble. It sounds a little ironic, but it's not, because the boldness that we're talking about isn't the boldness born of myself. I can come boldly because Jesus died and empowered me to do it. I can come boldly because I'm accepted of God through the blood of Jesus. Thank the Lord. He died for me. And I can access that. And listen to what it says. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. You know, one of the songs says that grace is free as the air we breathe. You been breathing any? Yeah, I'll take a little more. Yeah. Grace is free as... You can have all you want. All you need. Grace to do what? To enable you to live a victorious life here in this world. Overcoming power. Overcoming the feelings, the thoughts, the temptations that the flesh brings our way. The victory of Jesus. That we may obtain mercy, yeah, if we need it. We always do. and find grace. Find grace to help in time of need. Thank the Lord. Over in Revelations 12 and 11. 10th verse says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ." Boy, I'm going to tell you, that sounds powerful to me. "For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death." The three agents, folks, very valuable. The blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. I'm going to tell you, you've got to have a testimony. You've got to have a testimony. They overcome by the word of their testimony. Have you ever had the experience of being able to testify of something, and the more you testify about it, the stronger it becomes in you? It does. It does. I remember one time, I like to tell this story, but I remember one time a situation I was in where a guy, there's only me and him there, and something happened that a piece of equipment was destroyed, and when he went and told the boss, he told the story. He didn't tell it right. Well, I wasn't in a place to tell it any different. It wasn't my story, so he told the story, and it wasn't right. And I knew it wasn't right, and I knew he knew it wasn't right. It wasn't like he thought something else. It was too obvious. He knew it was, but he told the story. Then later he told the story again, and then he told the story again, and he got to telling that story. He told that story so many times that I think he believed it after a while. He thought that's the way it was. And he got to telling me that story. And I was the only one other one there. And he knew I was there. And he got that story messed up, and he told it so many times he believed it. And do you know, I've always said, if you can tell a lie till you believe it, you surely could tell the truth till you do. If you think about it, you can keep telling the truth until you believe it more and more and have a better, stronger testimony about the experience the Lord does. What happens is, Lord help us, the Lord will do things for us, and then we shut up about it.
Yes.
It'll never secure it in your heart until you testify about it. Tell it and tell it. Are you saved? Tell somebody.
Amen.
I'm saved. Thank the Lord, I'm different than I used to be. I used to do this and now I don't. I don't do this. The places I used to go, I go no more. The things I remember a song some of the Honduran people used to sing, and they started off, that the cigarette I used to smoke, I smoke them no more. The clothes I used to wear, I wear them no more. I'm changed. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life unto death. In other words, asked the brother Yusef, was it? The Lord is more important to him than his physical life is. But that's been a trait of Christians from the start. I would rather have the Lord. If you gain your light in this life, in this world, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, he said, you'll gain it. You'll win it. Oh, this life. Folks, you think of all the people down through the martyrdom age that stayed true to the Lord. And then you think about those that didn't. Where are they all at? And a long time ago, they died. Life is so short anyway. They love not their life unto death. Brother Clifford Wilson used to teach us at home, said a holy, righteous man will starve to death before he'd steal food. A holy man will freeze to death before he'd steal another man's coat. There's power in salvation. There's power to live this life. I want to read one other scripture before we end. Romans 1. I like this introduction. Paul's introduction to the Romans. I'm just going to read it from the first verse, I suppose. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separate unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. Luke 1 and 74, 73, 74, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hands of our enemy, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. All the days of our life. And holiness and righteousness through his blood, through his power. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Called to be followers of Jesus in the pure sense of the word. Not in the footsteps of this earth, but in the way that he was and who he is and the conduct of his life. Called to be saints. Called unto holiness. You say, well, you can't live holy. The world's crying, you can't live holy. I hear that a lot. You can't live that way. How awful. How demeaning to the great plan of God. It's powerful.
Yes.
Powerful to overcome.
Yes.
He was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Thank the
Lord. Called to be saints. You know, when I think of that, called to be saints, I want to tell you, I thank the Lord for our heritage. I thank the Lord for those that I knew that went on before us. The year I went out full time, 1995, I've been preaching a couple years and the Lord called me to a full time ministry. I didn't have a vehicle worthy, really, to be out on the road going much. Oh, I did. It was amazing. I remember one time being between Oklahoma City and Tulsa somewhere in an old van that the tread had far been spent on the wheels, and it had went so far that the tread was the wires that stuck out of the tires. We was going up the highway and that poor old van was a little 5-speed Plymouth van. And we would be going along, and that thing would just start just dying out in power until it just... And I'd have to pull over the side of the road, and I'd tell the family, the van's tired, it needs to rest a while. We'd sit there for an hour or so, and I'd start it back up, and we'd take off again. Brother Sam has had a van. And he said, here, Brother Marty, I drove that thing for a year. You talking about borrowing somebody's vehicle to go to town? Brother Salmon's handed me the keys to his van. Called to be saints. I looked at that and I said, Lord, help me always to be that way. Help me always that the things that I own of this life is just your property for your people. Called to be saints. Of a mindset. Brother Salmon's had that mindset. He really did. Another time I remember we wanted to go, Mark, this was before, you know, and the world ain't like that a lot. Well, if you got close friends, maybe. But I remember that we wanted to go to Monarch. We had no way. This was before I was even preaching. I remember Brother Tony coming up to me and said, I heard y'all was kind of wanting to go to Monarch. Well, I'd like to go. Don't have any way to go. Yeah, he said, I heard that. Here, you have a way to go. He gave me his car. Oh, I said, Lord, I want to be that way. Called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord bless you today. Another scripture. I've not got it right in my mind right now, but there's a scripture that says, how did we, something like, how do we hope to escape if we neglect? so great a salvation. Folks, the greater penalty belongs with us because, as the Scripture says, the people of Nineveh, when Jonah came, they repented. There's one greater than Jonah came. He didn't only preach. He put the power through his preaching. You can live what he says. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.